So how are we going to do that, Brother Eman? With the kind of relaxed organization we have now. You're going to do it better. If you're really Muslims, you're going to do it better. Prophet Muhammad never headed up any single concern. Never. Not even war. Not even going to war. No. He never headed up any single concern. What I mean by that, he never was the sole person responsible for any single concern. If it was war, he invited the men who knew war. Come, let us discuss our needs to defend ourselves. And he put the men in charge who were best qualified for war. If it was construction, he said, let's build the masjid. Let's build a home. And he called the people together who had that ability. And he said, the best of you, and just do this. There's no hadith, no history of the Prophet sitting down for hours trying to work out how they're going to do something. There's no history of him sitting down, nobody for hours trying to figure out how they're going to build a masjid. Or how are they going to build a school? How are they going to realize the educational institution for the religion? No, it was just done so naturally. Mm-hmm. Our interest is community. God has equipped all of you all with assets and contributions for community enrichment. So the interest is the community. If people get together, well, I know what I can do for the community. They get together. Prophets, blessings. Yes, blessings on your efforts. Blessings on your works. Many times their organized prophet didn't even know it until he was told about it. They had organized and done great things. Prophet didn't even know it until he was told about it or he came upon it himself. Say, oh, this is a wonderful work you're doing. Why? Because they were all in touch with the same fire. They were all close to the same fire. They were all excited by the same fire. Community construction, community advancement. And we think we need one person sitting somewhere giving orders. Telling people everything they have to do. Don't start no new interest until it comes from headquarters. Yes, headquarters, head all split up. The head is together when the people are together. Behind a single purpose. That's right. So that's where we should be putting our attention, giving our attention right now, to promoting community concern and letting the people know that we are primarily, essentially, first and last, a community, and we are obligated to realize community life more than we are obligated to realize anything else. Yes? Can we prove it? Yes, from Hadith. That man who had given his whole life to religious devotions, spiritual devotions, ritualistic commitment, fasting, praying, and dhikrs. When he was brought to be honored by the Prophet said, who takes care of your needs? They said, we do, Prophet. He said, then you're better than he is. So I know some of you who just like the show off, you like the honor. Your lawyers never pass the bar. Ma'am is wrong there. Prayer is more important. Prayer is more important than law is the more important thing. You don't have that, the whole structure falls. That's right. But if you ain't got a vision of the structure, you can't even establish la ilaha illallah. God didn't establish la ilaha illallah until he told us the unity of the creation. Is that not right? He showed us the unity of his creation. And he said, do you think more than one God did this or one did it? We are a minority in this country with a double job now of establishing ourselves. If we were in a land to ourselves, we would have the single job of just establishing our community. But in time, we would also have to recognize that even an independent nation is dependent. But it would be a little distant. But as a people, a minority in America, we have to start off with the double concern. We have to start off with the two concerns. One, to establish ourselves. One, to complement America. To complement the people of America. To be a complement. To be a beautifying addition. A healthy addition. A strengthening member in the plural society we call America. The Arabs have been here for as long as some of us have been here. And they're still on our side. They have their religion, but they don't have an Islamic community. They don't have the influence like other minorities have. Huh? Why? Because they have made the mistake of coming in here without a vision for their future as Americans. Now they're being sensitized by the donkey who has had a metamorphosis. And I'm hearing from them now that you should be our leader. They're telling me that you should be our leader. There are many of us who see it the way you see it. And we know that our future depends upon your kind of sensitivity. And they're asking me to be their leader. That's a fact. But it's like you asking me to head up your masjid. I say, well, if you need me to head up your masjid, then I know that your masjid ain't ready for me. Yes. No, they shouldn't need me. They should only need this kind of sensitivity. And then they should go and express the same thing that I express, right? But if they say, we need you to come bring us together, that tell me that you ain't ready for me. But one day we'll be ready, inshallah. One day we'll be ready. And you won't have to call upon me, I'll be there. Right? Yes, I'll be there. Because you will have your local places in harmony and accord with what we represent. And without even mentioning my name, I'll be there. Yes. I'll be there because the interest I gave my life to will be there. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. We need a leader for Muslims in America. For all Muslims in America. Arabs, Pakistanis, everybody. We need a leader. But that leader should be seen in his concerns, not in his person. And people should just say, they should say, and incidentally, it was that so-called Negro, black man, That be Dean Muhammad. It was him who introduced this kind of vision. It should be incidental that we even mention the man. For the main thing is the idea, right?
Yes, sir.
So I'll never accept being a personal leader for somebody. We need a person. That's all you need? I'm sorry, I'm not available. You need an idea? Come on, let's get it together. So it's as simple as that, brother imams. Let us learn more about Islamic community life so we can better serve its good future. And let us at the same time protect the future of the Islamic life in America. Protect the opportunity for its birth in America by identifying in the greatest and cleanest and healthiest concerns and vision of the American people. If you can't find a way to identify in the life, the best life of America, you'll never be established in America. Whatever you do will be temporary, subject to destruction at any time. Because the Americans that pride themselves in being Americans and are proud of what they're doing, what they've invested in this country, they will not accept any other people who doesn't identify in that kind of concern. They'll only accept to call you brother citizen when they know that you have the same kind of dedication, the same kind of interest, the same willingness to give for the growth and life and beauty and future of this nation. Oh, that sounds too patriotic. The patriarchs, they gave birth to the nation. They made the nation great. And those who are not patriotic, they're not doing anything for America. They're just selfishly living here. They contribute to the weakness of America, not to its strength. And if they are not subdued by those who have America's interests at heart, then they will become a detriment and a real problem for the American way of life, for the nation itself, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes,
sir. See, this country has two main processes. The process of gathering and the process of excluding. And I guess that's what you have to do. That's all that's life. You gather the worthwhile things and exclude the worthless things. And many times, those things that are rejected, they can't even see the operation.
That's right.
They don't know. They think they were selected when they were rejected. Because they can't see the operation, you see. They think they're into something. And they have already been rejected from the very start. So they turn all of their forces against themselves. Yeah, because of their exclusion, excluding themselves. All of that energy to then turn against themselves.
Yes,
we need to be united in a purpose that draw all good Americans, the strongest of Americans, together. We need to be united in a concern and a purpose and an aim that draws all of the best Americans together. We need to be allies for the future of America as seen in the eyes of the best of Americans. Huh? Some of us have never seen America. Refuse to see America. You are not ready to do anything of any consequence, of any real significance. You got to have a vision first. You got to have a vision of your environment and where you would like to see it go. This is the key. This is what separates the men from the boys. Those who have a vision for the whole, and a vision that draws them continually, not a static vision, not a vision to just get rich. That's a static vision. Oh, I have a vision. I want to be rich. That's a static vision. What's going to happen after you're rich? What's going to motivate you after you're rich? Your collection? And then Pompeii comes falling down. Yes. That's history. What separates the men from the boys? A vision of the whole. And a future for the whole. That's not static. That's continuous. Continuous. We believe the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet gives us that vision, huh? Now, as Americans, we also have to identify in such idea, in such a concept, in such a vision. Where is the vision for us as Americans? So we can join another American in the defense of this life. So we can share in the excitement over the growth, the healthy growth of America. Don't you know if we identify in the vision that's responsible for America's life and its being here, its unity, its form of democracy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if we really identified in that, don't you know we would be prosperous? We would be prosperous. Ain't no way for you to be at a standstill with that kind of commitment, with that kind of identity. No way for you to be at a standstill. The bigger your concern, the more energy you got. The smaller your concern, the more deficient you are in energy. Now here we ain't got no more concern than just to get some money. I want a bigger pay next week. Those are small people. Those are little bitty people. They shouldn't be here sitting at these tables while we're talking about the future of the Ummah in America. What do we need them here for? And all they want is a good weekend. All they want is something for their family. What right they have to sit here at these tables with imams? Huh? They have no right here. Every man here should have as his greatest concern the whole life of the Muslim. The whole life of the Muslim. He should be hurt because he doesn't have halal products coming from halal producers who are members of his community. He should be hurt that his teenagers have to go dance in a non-Islamic environment. Teenagers have to go see a movie in a non-Islamic environment. Teenagers have to go see a cultural production produced by non-Muslim, non-Muslim influence, anti-Muslim influences in it. But he's satisfied to see his children go to the movie houses, watch TV all day long, dance and listen to records, and have their whole spirit taken out of the Islamic form. He's satisfied, he has no right to sit here at these tables. See, we don't need no one person to lead us. We need one vision to lead us. prophet, he had the most willing followers. His followers were ready to give their all behind him. But what does Allah say in the Quran of that attachment? He says to the prophet, you couldn't have done that. Say, if you had used all what the earth could produce, you couldn't have bought that kind of allegiance. So what made them so close? What made them so close? It was them sharing in the vision of the life that was for them all and being grateful to God for bringing up one of their sons who wasn't taught by the world into a position to lead that kind of community, to bring the people to realize that vision. That's what made them so attached to him. And they became attached to each other. Attached to each other. We are an uprooted folk. Where is our history? In slavery. In freedom. In integration. In looking for the blessings of America. That's our history. Back beyond that, we only guess. You don't know where you came from, Egypt, Ghana, Nigeria, China. Yeah, I'm sure they brought a black man that got real in China. They brought him over here. Say, hey, they need you over in America. I said, well, I've been in China all my life. My people have been here too all their lives for generations. He said, well, now we need you in America. I took him on the boat and put his ass here too. We don't know where we came from, right? Most of us came from Africa. We don't know what parts of Africa, what location. And that guy over there talking about roots, he's just working roots. That's all he does. He's a root worker. My roots. The fact is, we are an uprooted people. And we haven't been able to root ourselves since we've been in earth. We haven't. We haven't been able to gain roots again. No. And that's the need of a people. To root themselves somewhere. How can you root yourself in America rejecting America? That's like a man trying to have a baby by a woman and rejecting her womb. Isn't it? It's the same. Say, hey, I wanna build a future for myself in America. You're rejecting America. So really, if you all identify with the spirit that has given birth to this new Islamic idea and people in America, then you don't want that kind of person sitting at these tables either.
That's right. That's right.
You want people here who want to root themselves in America. Yes. If you don't want to root yourself in America, go root yourself in a Pakistanian. Or Jordanese, or Sudanese, or anybody. You ready? I know you're ready to do that. If you're not ready to root yourself in America, I know what you want to do. You want to put on some sandals and stick a miswak up as your staff or your flag. We ain't going for it. God has blessed us with a bigger interest. Yes. Here is the great answer to an uprooted people. Community life is the key for reestablishment. Community life is the key for reestablishment. We all don't have to be Muslims. Our people could establish themselves if they would really, as a people, become excited about building a future for their generation in America. Yes! And they would automatically come into America. But we are blessed double. And I think, really, God has rescued the whole people in his rescuing us. Because it's very difficult, it's almost impossible for the black, the African American, to identify freely without any pain in the future of this country. Very difficult for them. Believe me, I done sat with the leaders. I have sat in the company of mayors, congressmen, senators, African American, church leaders, big Negroes. Yes. And I have been so disheartened, so disappointed. I said, well, here these people have the same restricting, denying sentiments that we had in the Nation of Islam. Going to the government like the Hebrews went to Pharaoh. If this is your country, you don't go to Pharaoh when you go to the government. You don't go to Pharaoh when you go see the president. You go to your leader. You go to your nation.
Yes, sir.
But most of their sensitivities won't allow them to see the government as their government, to see the president of their, as their leader. Very few can even say that without having all kind of contortion.
Right.
Might have to gurgitate right there when he said, because he's still on the outside.
Yes,
see, most of us don't understand that the Exodus is a deception. It's an entrance, not an Exodus. But in order to get in, you got to come out of your own small world. Yes! They were leaving Egypt. They were leaving the Egypt that was designed to keep them in a small world. A small mind and a small world. They had to come out of that design of Egypt in order to get into the world. And in America, you learned and alert-minded men here today, you know that in America there is a design. There is a design to keep certain foolish citizens narrow-minded. It's the oracle of America. Huh? Just like they had the oracle of Egypt, of ancient Egypt. It's the oracle of America that breathes mysterious feelings in you. Huh? Breathe out into you with mysterious feelings and mysterious sensations, mysterious aspirations that keep you small on the foundation. Huh? Yes? So we need an exodus to get in. We need an exodus to get in. Because when Moses went out, he got in. Right? Moses went out. Then he came back in and they didn't even recognize him until he started talking. So obviously, he had become a new person. Or they didn't recognize him. Hey, Moses. Hi, Moses. Haven't seen you in a long time. No, he came back and they didn't even recognize him. He had to introduce himself.
Right.
you. Didn't we tell you to stay out here? Didn't we put you out here and tell you to stay out here? What are you doing back here? And then Moses said, well, I'm in. He said, well, yeah, we're going to have to test this. Go get the musicians. Go get the magicians. Pardon me. Go get the magicians. Highly trained in the arts. He says he's in. We're going to have to test this. Okay now, Moses. Go on. Throw down your best. He said, oh, Dad, I said, well, you all go on and do your thing first. And they did their thing, and then Moses did his thing and just did away with that thing. Well, he said, well, I'd be damned. Moses really got in. Now, okay, Moses, what can we do to satisfy you? What do you want from us? Say nothing, just let all my people go now. Let them go with me. Let them go with me. I got off under your charms. Let them get off under your charms. So they can get in too. Yes! See, that's the key. Now, God says in the Quran, he says, and on that wise did we establish Joseph in the land. وَكَذَٰلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And on that wise did we establish Joseph in the earth, which means in the land or in the earth. Now, let us, in the final part of this address that I'm giving you here, which is in the interest of the leadership, your leadership, our collective leadership, and the future for the community of Muslims in America. Let us now go to look at some of the particulars in the life of Joseph and his brothers, peace be upon him. To which God says, and you will find in Joseph and his brethren a sign, a great sign, for the seekers. For the seekers, or for those who ask, it means the seekers. Now, Joseph was one of 12 brothers. And Joseph was a person who was spiritually occupied. As a young man, spiritually occupied. He was a dreamer, even as a child. He had a dream, and he told his parents of his dream. He also was very morally adamant, or strong moral convictions. And because of his makeup, because of his special kind of makeup, a dominance of spiritual influences, and very strong moral commitment, he was a thorn or a threat to his brothers. So he became the target of the elders and their plot. They conceived an idea to do away with him. The same child, a young man, with this special makeup. He was the love, the dear love, the dear child of his father Jacob. Peace be upon Jacob. Yahoo. And the brothers decided that they were going to do away with him. And they first decided that it was suggested to kill him. And one among them said, no, said, let's not kill him. The consequence would be too great in words. Let us devise something more suitable. So they decided that they would take him and sell him into slavery, huh? They would take him and sell him into slavery. So they saw a caravan coming along the road. And they introduced him to the caravan. And the people of the caravan delighted in him so much that they purchased him and sold him into Egypt, huh? But before his imprisonment in Egypt, they had put him in the hole, right? And according to the words of God, the hole was without water and empty. And they put him in the lowest depth of the hole. And the term that's used in the Quran is Ghayabatil Jubb. Ghayabatil Jubb. And the word Ghayaba is from also Ghayib, which means unseen. Unseen, not manifest, not existing presently. So they put him in something that wasn't seen. They put him to a depth where he could not see what was there. What was there was absent. The bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. Now, a pit ain't got no bottom. You can't see the bottom. You can't see the foundation. Huh? So they put him in a hole, and the point, the depth to which they put him is called Ghayaba, 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 meaning that it was at that point where things are so mystified, things are so indefinite that nothing can be visualized, nothing can be defined, nothing is really present. The foundation is in the future. Yes, that was the situation they put him in. But we know that he was purchased from that condition, right? He was purchased from that situation and brought to Egypt. And in Egypt, with other victims in the prison, he manifested his special talent for looking in to the spiritual life of a person and analyzing and solving their problems for them, huh? And he became known for that, and that's what got him out of prison. Say, oh, there's a man in prison who has a special ability. Say, bring him up. He was sold to the people of the nation that were holding power sway over the world. Wasn't Egypt holding power sway over the world, according to the history? Yes. his real circumstances to his father. His father had told the boy, say, look, I don't trust him with you all. Say, I fear the wolf may hit him. And they came back with the lie, after they had sold him away, they came back with the lie and said, the wolf got him. Now, you know, a wolf is also a spiritual dog. He's a spiritual dog. He likes the mysteries of night. He just stand out in the night, other dogs sleeping here. They say, well, Dad, the dog, the wolf got him. And they put blood on his garments, on his clothes, to make the father think, yeah, some wolf really got him. His blood is gone. His blood is spilled. Go ahead. And look, again, they said of Joseph, say, let us dress him. This is the people who got an Egyptian now. They got him now. And they took pride in him for his special talents, his special principles that he believed in, and his humble and morally upright self, and his spiritual intuition, etc. They took a special interest in him. They said, let's dress him in respectable clothes. Perchance he may prove useful to us.